And we're live. We're live. Good afternoon, His Church family, those jumping on now, who watch it live stream, those that might be watching this later. We're going to give this a couple moments to give some people time to jump on as we get going here. It takes a few minutes sometimes for some people to get notified. So let me know that you're watching, where you're watching from. As you can see, we have Paul Bernard with us. Many of you know Paul from church, and also some of you that watch our Facebook page from outside of the church, many of you know Paul. But we're going to discuss a few different things today. Before we get going, I want to just share a couple announcements with you as we get rolling. We're going to continue our series on the family this Sunday. It's been going really well. This past Sunday, we kind of got away from that a little bit. Well, you weren't here, were you? You weren't here or something, were you?
We were at a veterans homeless event in New Gloucester.
All right. Well, I guess I'll excuse that. But Sunday, this past Sunday, we were supposed to continue it, but we kind of just allowed the Holy Spirit to move, and the Holy Spirit changed our plans, so we had a great service. But we're going to continue, Lord willing, the series on the family this Sunday morning at 10:30, 52 Pottle Road, Oxford, Maine. And also, one more announcement that I have is we are going to be doing water baptisms on February 25th, the last Sunday of the month. So you have a couple Sundays to sign up, to put your name. I think we got four or five people signed up right now, which is good. It's awesome. And we're going to be doing that after church on Sunday the 25th. So if you're jumping on, I see numbers coming on here. Let me know where you're watching from. Let me know if it sounds good. Let me know if things are coming through. We got new microphones that I've never used before today. So Paul's got one on. I got one on. Paul, how's your day going?
Good. Great. It's always good to be here with you and to be with the Lord every day.
Let us know if it's coming through good. I just wanted him to say something before we get rolling. I think it is. If not, well, we'll know afterwards. But the reason I invited Paul to come on and join us today is many of you know that we have been, Rebecca says, sounds great. So that's awesome,
good.
Rebecca.
Good. Very good.
So hope you're doing well, Rebecca. Haven't heard any news on the situation out there. I'm pretty sure your daughter, as far as I know, is having a baby. And that's why you're out there. So I hope everything's going well. I don't know if the baby has come yet or not, but definitely we'll be praying for her and the baby and you and safe traveling mercies and all that good stuff. So the reason I have Paul here is because we want to discuss the homeless ministry. Many of you guys have donated different types of things, items here at the church. We've posted a couple different things on Facebook, but I thought I would take the time for one of these live streams that we do to be able to just kind of interview Paul and let him share with us what's been going on, how things have been going, why they do what they do, different things like that. Just a reminder, we're going to be doing these live streams every Tuesday and Thursday. We were supposed to start this past Tuesday, but I was not completely up to par, so I skipped it until today. So today is the first one, but every week we'll be doing Tuesday and Thursdays at noontime. Paul won't always be here, but I'll be here at noon. And different times I'll have different people come in and share different things and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So with that said, I'm going to let Paul share a little bit about who he is, his background, where he comes from, maybe a few things that you've done in the past, and just kind of let people know who you are and what you're all about. We don't really have time on Sundays to really get to know people all that well. So I figured at least the first thing I was going to ask him was just to share a little bit about himself and your background.
Well, Pastor, as you know, most of us, when we come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, a lot of it, things that we go through in life are for a purpose. And we're able to use those things that we go through to minister to others. And so when I first got saved, the first thing that came to my mind, the Jews, the door had opened in Russia for the release of the Jews in Soviet Russia. And so I had worked on the release of Soviet Jews, and then that door closed. And so we got involved in pro-life work in the state of Maine. And I went around the state teaching in churches, youth groups, any group. And if there was a door open, even in the malls, we set up Some sold class models, showing the birth series, passing out tracts from Last Days Ministries. We did pro-life work all around the state, spoke on the sanctity of human life. And then I was almost killed in an incident, but God spared my life. And afterwards, I started getting involved in world missions, sending medical supplies and medical teams into 41 countries. But then my wife died in March 19, 2019. And one of the people that I had sent in the mission field back in 1991 was Rochelle, who is now my wife. God had reunited us and we got married. And she had asked me after we were married just a couple of weeks, where did you grow up? And so I took her to Lewiston and I went to Kennedy Park and there was homeless people there. And it really affected her. And she said, you know, can we do something? Can we get something for them now? And so we went to a bakery, we brought some donuts, we went to the store, we bought some water, and we went back to the park, we passed out donuts and water. And, you know, she had asked me, you know, if what I had done there when I was young. And I said, well, I was homeless at the age of 15, from 15 to 18 when I turned 18. The way I got out of homelessness was I joined the Navy and I left, and that's how I got out of my homeless situation. So we started getting involved in reaching out to the homeless. Of course, it's all over in the scriptures concerning homelessness. We first bought donuts. We first bought water. Next thing you know, Panera Bread started giving us pastries. The door opened. We didn't have to buy any donuts anymore. People started donating water to us. People started donating it to his church here. The pastor was making it clear that we were doing homeless ministry. People were donating everything, things we didn't even ask for, they were donating. And as the weather got colder, they started donating hand warmers and body warmers, foot warmers, hats, mittens, gloves, socks. We didn't even have opportunities to pray and ask God, God, we need this for the homeless. We need blankets. Well, we didn't have a chance to pray. The blankets came in. Everything that we needed, God would provide it before we could even ask for it. But that's how God is. And, you know, when you commit your life to Christ and you start serving the Lord, he said he'll provide all these things. He'll provide, you know, the clothes that you wear. He said, look at the sparrows. And if he takes care of the sparrows, he's going to take care of us much more. And so some of the things that we pray for, I know sometimes people pray for, you know, things that they really don't need. But the things that we do need, God provides. Yep. And you know that too.
Yep.
God always meets our needs and provides everything we need. And in regards to homeless ministry, the provisions have come in. It's unbelievable how God has provided.
So I know you mentioned this a little bit, but so you were homeless at the age of 15. How long were you homeless for until you went into the
15 to 18.
15, yeah. Was it in Lewiston?
Yeah, it was in Lewiston, right there at Kennedy Park, where they all are in the summer, spring
so
and
you
summer
really,
and fall.
So you know firsthand what it's like to be homeless and
yes.
live on the streets. And
yes.
Now you probably, maybe you did or didn't, I've never asked you this, but did you have people that ever came around that are doing what you guys are doing? Or was it not? Was it slim back then or not really? Or
well, interesting. That's an interesting question because one of the homeless guys, he had said something to me about homelessness, and I mentioned something, and he said, well, you don't know what it's like to be homeless. Well, he didn't know what I had gone through. Sometimes people look at you and they think, well, you haven't been through anything because of the way you look at this time. And so I said, don't talk to me about homelessness. When I was homeless at 15 years old, that was in 1966, everybody was struggling, working in the mills and the shoe shops, just trying to get by week to week. No one brought us a sleeping bag. No one brought us a blanket. I mean, I remember sleeping under bushes, under the bridge between Lewiston and Auburn on the island. No one brought us a hamburger, a piece of bread, a donut, some water. That just didn't happen back then. And so as bad as the homeless situation is today, and it is bad, as a matter of fact, just in 2023 in the state of Maine, of course, that all the results haven't come in, but in the first 8 months in 2023, there have been 404 people in the state of Maine that have died from overdoses that were homeless. And that's a big number. And we need to step up and do something about it.
I think a lot of people think, because I worked with the homeless ministry when I was with City Reach in Bangor. We set up
down at Pickering Square every Thursday night, gave out food and played music and preached the word and things like that. We dealt with a lot of homeless people, but I think people that are not homeless sometimes have a perception of the homeless that isn't necessarily accurate. I think sometimes we think that they could have controlled this, or I think there's people actually that are homeless that things happened out of their control and they just didn't have the backing or the support to either pick themselves back up or anything like that. So they ended up on the streets. I mean, not everybody that's homeless is a drug addict.
No.
Not everybody that's homeless is an alcoholic.
No.
Not everybody that's homeless is because they did something foolish. There are people out there that literally it was something that was out of their control. I mean, there's people out there that couldn't afford to even have their kids with them, and now they have kids living with family members while the parents are homeless, you know, and things like that. But I just think sometimes our perception and our mindset is off when it comes to, therefore, there's a lot of people in the church that don't want to do anything because they have the mentality of, well, they could just get up and do something for themselves. You know, why don't they just go get a job? There's many
Right.
places hiring. Well, until somebody gets rescued off the streets and cleaned up and taken care of properly and things like that. I mean, let's just be honest. Somebody walking off the park in Lewiston, going into a place that's hiring, the way they look and the way they are acting is at that moment, nobody's going to hire them.
No one's gonna hire
So
them.
they need to learn, you know, about real life, not just real life and what they're doing right now, but real life in regards to how to function again, how to operate again, so we can put them back out into society, to the workplace and things like that. But I don't feel like some of these people are getting the opportunity or the chance, if that makes sense, because of how
Yes,
people think of it.
right. You know, one of the biggest crimes since this all of the technology that we have today, and I've seen this in Maine State Prison. We also do work in Maine State Prison, and I would say, without exaggerating, 80% of the inmates that are in Maine State Prison right now, they have almost 1,500, are in for sex crimes. You know, because the technology that we have, whether a telephone, computers, on television, you know, what's being broadcast on television, it's horrible. Just this past summer, one young girl came to the park. That was the first time that Rochelle and I had seen her, and we said, "Why? What are you doing here?" And she says, "Well, I'm homeless. How long have you been homeless? This is my first day." And we said, "Well, why are you choosing to be homeless? Are you drugging? No. Are you drinking? No. What seems to be the problem?" My mother just got a new boyfriend, and we went to bed. And when I went to bed, we were supposed to be sleeping, and her boyfriend came into my room and wanted to have sex with me. And she said, "I would rather be out here on the streets than have to live like that." So there are people that are on the streets that, like Pastor John just said, has nothing to do with drugs, nothing to do with alcoholism. They've been physically, sexually abused. They've chosen to go on the streets. Sometimes the ones that go on the street, they get involved with drugs and alcohol and so forth to cover up the pain of what they experience. We had a girl. We would, of course, we go out twice a day. We go out late at night, and we go to the trap houses where the drug dealers are and everything. We were told those are dangerous places, but they need Christ. It doesn't matter if it's a they people say it's a safe place, a dangerous place. We if it's darker. If it's darker at the trap house where the drug addicts are, then that light that we bring to them is much brighter, and they need the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we've got to become friends with now, I think, 130 of them, according to Rochelle, because she takes pictures of all of them. And you know, they come, they greet us, they thank us, because they said, "You know, we know that you guys care because you're here every day. You pray with us, you talk to us, you encourage us." In the beginning, many of them didn't come to us. Now they're coming to us, asking for counsel. They're asking for us to pray with them. It's amazing what God is doing. They said most people don't care. Some people come by and they say, "Oh, here's something to eat," or "Here's a coat." And one of the things that they don't do, and the homeless have approached us about it, they said they don't even ask us our name. They're just good doers. They come in, they give us a jacket. They think they're doing a good deed. The first thing that we do is we say, "What's your name?" "John, I'm Paul. Pleased to meet you." You make that first connection, and that's very important. And again, like the pastor said, Pastor
Well, they
John.
respect you because you show that you care. You know what I mean?
Yes.
They respect you because you show that. I think we forget sometimes that, especially us that are, you know, I wouldn't say we're to them, we're well off.
Yes.
To them, we got it all together, you know, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But they respect us. They respect us. And it's funny because when I've dealt with a lot of homeless people before, drug addicts and stuff like that, been around drug dealers, things like that, they actually sometimes, I'll say 8 times out of 10, have more respect for people than people who are not homeless have respect for people. Like, they actually respect, they're nice.
Oh my word.
Like, they're nice. They're homeless.
They're polite. And
they have every reason to complain and be either miserable or bitter or upset, but they're super nice. They're nice to you. They respect you. But it's like that saying I've said before in church, people don't care what you have to say until they truly realize that you care.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's what you guys are doing, is going out and showing them, you know, that I think we need to remember that we don't serve a God just of second chances. We serve a God that gives us multiple chances. And if we're going to see homeless people, drug addicts, alcoholics in that same view, we need to truly have a revelation of how God sees us and mm-hmm. what he's done for us. You know, so we don't look at them as, well, they made their bed, they're going to lie in it, or they made their choice and this is... No, we need to love on them. We need to,
amen.
You know, and everybody, that's different for everybody. For you guys, it might be going out there every day. For some people that who can't get out there, it might be praying for them every day. It might be donating food or donating finances. However that looks, there's many different ways people can do that.
Yeah. You know, that's amazing that you said that, because, and we've commented on that, Rasan and I, when we get home, that we talk about, you know, what happened during the course of that day. I can't believe how many, probably, I'd say, without exaggerating, maybe 98% or 99% of them, when we give them hot food every day. Of course, they love my peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. They're so
raspberry jam or grape jelly.
They like raspberry.
Raspberry.
It's the most expensive. So I get strawberry and raspberry and I mix it together.
Oh,
it comes out good though. But they are thankful. They say thank you so much. And this blew us away. They say, God bless you. I can't believe how many of them, the drug dealers, the worst of the worst, they owe us before we leave, God bless you. And we say, no, God bless you. And it's amazing.
You got people in the church that have been saved for years and are not homeless and are blessed, and they don't even say that.
Well, yeah, that's another story.
You know, they don't even say that.
Yeah.
But people who are less fortunate and got all this stuff going on, they say it. And,
yeah, it's amazing. You know, they're so polite. They are so thankful and appreciative, and they have hope. As a matter of fact, we took in a few of them, you know, and one of them we brought through detox. She was in the house for a week, and that was quite an experience. Another one came. We have rules: no drugging, no smoking. You know, we have rules. But if they're willing to make a decision to change, we'll take them in. We'll help them out. And just recently, one of the young men out of the 130 that we bring food to was living next to Lowe's in Auburn, down on the left-hand side, down the embankment, go to the left, up in the woods, and he was there. His name is Matthew. And we would bring him food every day. And one morning he came up and he said that God had spoke to him and told him to stop. And so I said, well, how long have you not been doing drugs? He says, it's been about a month now. Really? So we said, so are you going to stop drugging? He said, yes. He says, I'm tired. I want out. I want to make a change. We were ministering the gospel to him. One day when we brought him food, he asked us, he says, could you bring me something? And we said, what is it you want? And he says, could you bring me a Bible? Well, Rochelle and I looked at each other and what? We brought him a Bible. And then a couple of weeks ago, Carlos and Bella brought him to church here. And then the pastor didn't know who he was. He went up to him, prophesied over him. Rochelle and I were in the back crying. I came up to the front, went back in the back, cried. Three times I went back and forth. I was wondering what the pastor would be thinking, like, are they having marital problems? We were not having marital problems. We were so touched by what God was doing, and that God had led the pastor to speak over him. And
I didn't even know he had anything to do with you guys or anything. Like, I didn't even, until I think it was the next week when I messaged you about that he gave his life to the Lord. But I didn't even think to message you because I didn't know he wasn't sitting with you guys.
No,
I didn't know he was part of, you know, the homeless that you've been working with. And then I saw pictures on your Facebook page sharing the testimony of Matthew and things like that. And I was like, I said to myself, that's the guy I just spoke words over on Sunday. And he accepted the Lord, and then
Now we signed up for water
We
baptism.
signed up for
We
water
signed up to be water
baptism.
baptized and stuff like that. But yeah, so
Beautiful. That was beautiful.
And he's doing really well.
He's doing really well. And you know, one thing that we should all, and of course, Pastor, you know the scripture, but and you've learned this in ministry, and you'll learn even more as you go on. But through the years of ministry, you know, people come up to you, especially if you're pastoring, you know, speaking at churches and stuff. And that they'll try to get you, you know, they'll try to trap you in an area. Well, what do you think about this? What do you think about tribulation? Is it pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, and so forth? And they talk about prophecy and Revelation, Daniel, Isaiah, Ezekiel, and all of these things. I think one of the most prophetic scriptures that we can find, it's not in those books. It's actually in the Gospel of Matthew. And it speaks concerning the second coming of Jesus Christ. And it's in Matthew 25, and it says, when the Lord comes in his glory, he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. The sheep and the goats are the same. They're attending the same church. And some are hearers of the word and some are doers of the word. And he comes and here, this is the final judgment. And he says to those that, he said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you took me in. When I was naked, you clothed me. And he says, and then he's going to say to those that that followed his word and took care of these people, he says, those are the sheep, but the goats didn't. And they said, well, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or naked or when you were a stranger? And he said, when you did to the least of these. And so to me, that's a very, that's a scripture we need to take notice of, because he doesn't say he's coming back to see how, you know, how big your house is or what kind of car you're driving. He wants to know, did you obey my word? Were you a doer or were you just a hearer? Did you settle with just going to church on Sunday? The pastor says it all the time. You know, the people don't settle for just coming to church on Sunday. You need to become active. Get a firm foundation and get to work. Our life is very short and we should make it count. Just recently, the pastor in many churches in the country went on a fast. You know, a lot of churches fast. And one of the scriptures about fasting in Isaiah 58, it says, is this not the fast that I called you for? To divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless and poor into your house. Some people said to me, you brought Matthew into your house? How do you know what his background was? What if he would kill you in the middle of the night? And it's like, oh, really? And but here the scripture says, bring the homeless into your house. When you see the naked, cover him. So even in Isaiah, we're told this is the fast that God has chosen for us. Just like Isaiah speaks about Christ, you know, his crucifixion and everything. And now in the New Testament, it says again, Christ is now coming, the second coming, and he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. Yeah. And in this church here, I'm not saying that we're better than anybody else, but the pastor preaches the word of God. He is constantly challenging all of us. It doesn't matter if you're 15, 20, or as old as me, 50, you know, or 72. And he's challenging us to get. I should be home retiring, sitting down on a recliner, watching sports or something, but Rochelle won't let me do that. She says, no, we got to get out. We got to be busy. We got to be about the Lord's business.
Well, I think that's, you know, I think a lot of people think that, you know, I love missionary work and stuff like that, especially all around the world. But I hear so many people feel like, oh, I want to be a missionary in another country. I want to be which is great. But if everybody were to be missionaries outside of the U.S. or even outside of Maine, like missions fields are right here in Maine.
Yeah.
Lewiston's a mission field. You know what I mean? You don't have to leave the state. You don't have to leave the town. Some of you don't even have to leave your neighborhood to be a missionary. You know what I mean? It's like we can be a missionary wherever God calls us at that moment, at that time.
That's right.
And, you know, when you mentioned about bringing the homeless in and stuff like that, you know, I think that comes with walking with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will give discernment and peace when, for instance, Matthew, if you didn't have peace or discernment or wisdom and God didn't tell you to do it, you wouldn't do something that God didn't tell you to do in regards to bringing people in.
Right.
You know, so it's like you wouldn't, there's not, because I want to clarify
The Bible says if you need wisdom, ask the Lord for wisdom. We wouldn't bring just anybody into our home.
No.
That's why we need to walk by the Spirit, so the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom and guidance on, you know, when the Spirit speaks, take this one in, take that one in. Because I think the Holy Spirit knows the work that's going to be done if you yield to the Holy Spirit to walk through that door that's been opened up for you to take that person in.
And even I'm going to go a little step further, because I have to say it's not just Rochelle and I. Carlos and Bella have been working with us with the homeless all year. And so before we took Matthew in, we all four of us got together and discussed and prayed and discussed and prayed. And then we all came in agreement and said, I believe that, or what was Bella that said, I believe this is the one. You need to take this young man in.
And you can't do this without, like, anybody who would even consider even helping with this type of ministry or doing this type of ministry. You can't just do this just to do it. You can't do it, like, if you're not prayed up or walking by the Spirit or anything like that, like, you're wasting your time. Yeah. Like, you want to make sure whatever you do, you're doing it because God's told you to do that. You know, but I think sometimes that can be to an extreme of, well, God didn't tell me to help the homeless. You know what I mean? That can be taken to an extreme. Well, there's some things that we are called to do that we don't necessarily have to pray if we're supposed to do them or not. If it's scripturally written that we're called to do different types of things and take care of different types of people and help those in need and love our brothers and sisters and love your neighbor as yourself, you don't have to pray, am I supposed to do this, when it's already been written.
Amen.
You know, so we just have to follow God's word and use wisdom and discernment, walk by the Holy Spirit, and walk through the doors that the Lord opens for us to, you know, there's been many doors that you guys have been able to walk through doing when you started doing this. When did you, I think that was one of my questions, like, when did you guys start having the desire to do this?
Well, when
and why?
Yeah, well, it was when Rochelle asked me, you know, could you show me where you grew up? And so, you know, I went to Kennedy Park because that's where, you know, we hung around the most. And when she saw the homeless, and she said, have they always been here? And then I said, well, I was homeless here. And as we started talking about it, of course, sometimes memories, you know, we forget things, so we want to forget things. And as I'm looking at all, I says, I have never seen, you know, the homelessness in this amount. I've never seen this many people, you know, in the park homeless. And so it brought back memories of my past, but it also brought back memories of how God in his love and mercy towards me, delivered me from that. I could have been dead. I could have been in prison. Who knows what could have happened to me? But God saved me out of that situation. And as she was moved and memories came back to mind, I was moved. And she said, you know, let's do something. And I said, yes, let's do something. Because like you said earlier, we didn't have that back in the 60s. And so today, you know, God has blessed us tremendously. And he's given us everything we need. You know, remember the people in this church? Oh my, they provided everything, sock, everything that they need. And as the weather got colder, they started providing the items that we needed to give to them in this frigid weather. That we have two different women, two married couples, and they're not drugging. But because of, since COVID, the cost of rent has skyrocketed. They lost their rent. Two different women, one underneath, they lived underneath the bridge, the husband and the wife, behind Central Maine Medical Center, 3 months pregnant, sleeping under a bridge. The first thing we did, Rochelle says, we need to get us some prenatal vitamins. Went to Walmart, bought prenatal vitamins, and brought them back to her. Then we met another couple, again, a little bit further back, but behind the hospital, 3 months pregnant, sleeping in a tent. And we thought, oh my, they're not out there signing. They're not signing at 3 months pregnant, living in a tent in frigid weather. She's not going to go get a job. She can't get a job. She's trying to survive. She's trying to survive. And when I look at what the provisions that God has given to us, you know, what's in my garage, what's in my cellar, stuff that we have stored, and it's like so much stuff. And the Lord says, sell all your possessions and give it to the poor. And, you know, different scriptures come to mind and challenge us, you know, in our private time when we're praying. And it's like, oh, Lord, you know, forgive me for, you know, I've got all this stuff. I don't need this stuff. And, you know, so I'm selling stuff, you know, and putting the money into the ministry, helping the homeless. Yeah. And a lot of us have a lot of stuff that, what does that, all that stuff do? It distracts us from serving God. You know, there's a lot of things that can distract us. I'm not saying they're sinful, but they can take away, they can take you away from the most important thing in life, which is very short, and that's pleasing God, serving God, building the kingdom of God. How many times, if you've been coming to this church, how many times have you heard the pastor say, and we even the song, build your church, Lord, build your church. Well, you know what? We're the church. We need to encourage one another, stimulate one another, stimulate our gifts, and encourage each other to work for the Lord, because time is short and we only have one life to live. We better make it worthwhile.
I think we take it for granted, everything we have. You know, I remember a story. My dad went to Port-au-Prince, Haiti on a missions trip one time, and he was preaching or doing something, and they were having a testimony service. And this lady stood up, shared a testimony. Well, of course, my dad didn't know what she said, so the interpreter told her, and told my dad. And what the lady testified about was that she said that she was thankful that she found a piece of plastic to cover her kids up that night before. And it got my dad thinking, how many blankets do we have in our closets? How many blankets do we have in tubs in our basement that we've never thanked God for at all? But yet this lady thanks God for just a simple piece of plastic to wrap her kids up that night.
Yeah.
Like, we take for granted what we have, you know, and then we look at other people that don't have those things, like homeless people and stuff like that. Like it's all the time, it's their fault. Now, I'm not going to say that there are some people that are homeless because of the decisions that they've made.
That's
and
right.
Because of the stuff that they have chosen to do.
Right.
Exactly. We've also chosen, we might not be homeless, but we've made bad decisions. We've chosen things that weren't godly things. We've done things that weren't godly things. And I'm thankful I never had to get to that place where I was homeless or anything like that. But we got to understand that the same God that helped us in those decisions and helped us have victory and help us overcome, like, it's the same God that wants to rescue these people from Amen. Being homeless and set them free and deliver them and see them become who God wants them to be.
Amen.
You know, from the first Sunday Matt came, which I didn't know it was Matt. I mean, you wouldn't even really recognize him now.
No. Nope.
You know what I mean? He came that Sunday. I mean, he looked pretty rough, and yeah, he had a big full beard, and, you know, was pretty to himself and things like that. But the Lord just spoke to my spirit, and I spoke over him. And then I saw later on that week, like I said, that Paul posted some pictures and stuff, giving him a haircut. And I was like, that's the guy I just spoke over on Sunday. But, like, he looks like a brand new man, like the atmosphere in his life, you know, and things like that. But it's like, if you would have just looked at him as a failure and somebody who had made mistakes, he wouldn't be where he is now. No. I mean, I think that's the thing, is people in the church, we can't look at these people for what they've done, where they've been, or the mistakes they've made. We need to look at them as, man, if God would get a hold of their life,
Amen.
Where will they go? What could they do? Who could they influence?
Yeah.
You know, because God doesn't look at us for our failures. God looks at us, he sees our failures, but he wants to bring us to a level of success that's only found in him.
Amen.
But we have to have that mindset as people in the church, that the same God that did it for me and everybody else, the same God that wants to bless and supply and change and transform these individuals.
Yeah. Carlos and Bella had brought Matt to church, and that when he first came in, he told us this after, he says, when he first came in, you know, he saw the back row and he says, oh, this is a good place to sit. And Bella says, oh, no, it's further up. And so, of course, she brought him to the front. So when the pastor approached him and spoke over him, he didn't really hear everything. He was a little nervous and stuff. The pastor had sent us a clip of that, what had taken place. We played it to him at home when it was just us. And Michelle and I just sat back quietly and watched. And we played that clip, and he broke down weeping. He was weeping because he said, you're not junk. God said, you're not junk. And this is what we say out in the street too. You know, you may be here right now, but this is not where God wants you to be. How many times have we heard that sitting here in his church? You know, the pastor has said it so many times. You may be here, but this isn't where God wants you to stay. He has more for you. We repeat that, what the pastor has said in here, to almost everyone we come in contact with out there, that God has a lot more for you. He has a better for you. Don't settle for where you are, because this is not where God wants you to stay.
And that's even people who have been saved for years, you know, who have been saved for years. The level they're at right now is not the last level they'll be on if they pursue more of Christ. You know, it's, God has more for them, no matter how long they've been saved. Teresa Toothaker's on. She says, I love this church. Well, that's nice.
Amen.
That's nice.
We love you too.
You're a part of the church.
Amen. We are the church.
You better let Jerry know. I better see him on Sunday. Slacking out last night. So, we got some more people on here. My wife's Uncle Mark from Atlanta is watching. How many different states are watching? We got Atlanta. We definitely got Maine. But my last question, so that's kind of just sharing, you know, what's going on, things like that. My last question is, how, I know we do, you know, donations and stuff like that in the lobby, so you can mention that and stuff and what maybe you need and what people could bring or other avenues, but how can people help? Because I know not everybody can go out there every day like you guys do. Not everybody, you know, everybody's schedules are different, things like that, but there's multiple different ways people can help. Even if they decide one Saturday that they want to reach out to you guys and come out for one Saturday to serve. You know what I mean? It's not like they're, I hate using this term, but it's not like they're signing every day of their life away. You know right. what I mean? It's like, we know people are busy. We know people got stuff going on and different things with families and kids, you know, and all that stuff. But maybe it might be a Saturday or a day somebody wants to, where they could talk to you on Sunday and they could meet up with you guys and just go and experience what you guys are doing. But how can people help? Like, how can people help with what's going on?
Well, up till today, as far as the people in this church and even outside of the church, all of a sudden we received a check in the mail from Church of God. The brother that spoke last night, his church, they reached out and sent us some finances. We had a friend of ours, Lupe, from the Dominican Republic, and she must have read some of the articles on Facebook, and she sent us a whole bunch of brand new wool socks.
Oh, wow. You
know, and we didn't expect that. And so even people that are not even here, not even in the state of Maine, you know, like Lupe, she has reached out. In the area, we have all the food that we can deal with, you know, besides the peanut butter and jelly. Panera Bread gives us the bread, and we still have to use peanut butter and jelly, because the homeless, every time we go out, they say, where's the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? They want that more than anything else. But with the two new stores that had opened in Turner, we get hot food every day. We get salads and fruit and hamburgers and cheeseburgers and pizza, all kinds of food. So we don't need any more food, because we're getting plenty of food to bring to them. We're feeding them. We're getting water that's donated. People are donating the clothes. And
they don't want stuff to go to waste either.
They don't. Yeah, they don't want stuff. And that's what the store had said. We were hoping we didn't want to have to throw all this food away. And when you guys came in and we found out what you were doing, we'd like to give you all the food. We go in twice a day. We go after breakfast and we pick up the food from the breakfast. And then we go in at night when the kitchen closes at 8:30. We pick up the food. We go back home. We heat the food. And then we go back out on the streets late at night when it's dark. And that's, you know, it's not summer anymore. And so we're fine. There's one here alone and one here alone and one here alone and one here alone. And it's getting colder. It's getting harder for them. One lady was walking down Ash Street in Lewiston. We looked and we said, do we know this one? And we pulled over and we didn't even recognize her. She looked a lot worse than when we had first met her. As soon as we got out of the car, she went up to Rochelle, started hugging her, and she started weeping. And she said, I can't believe what I have to do to survive. And so I was standing back a little bit, but I could hear. And she said, I have to prostitute myself to survive. She says, I am disgusted in myself. And then she talked about suicide. I'm telling you, if we didn't go out, and again, not everybody can do this, but we can. We have no children to raise. Rochelle and I are out there. And I'll tell you, she was probably at the darkest spot that anyone could be in. She was disgusted in herself. We prayed with her. That little light that was out there in the darkness of her night, was brighter and brighter than anybody could imagine. The only thing that, of course, I have to do the finances at the end of each month, and we don't notice things. And so, you know, we get gas. Of course, unfortunately, I got an 8-cylinder vehicle, which takes more gas, but that's the only vehicle we got. And in October, just for gasoline, going back and forth into town, we spent $201.15 in October. November, we spent $159.97. In December, we spent $280.51. And in January, we spent $305.78. So in just those 4 months, we spent $947.41 in gasoline. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't think I bought that much gas in 20 years. And we go to Walmart because I'm trying to get the least expensive gas because we're using so much gas. So that's one area that if you want to give us a $10 gas card,
you're also, just to clarify, so people, because I know some people will be like, you know how people are, they get leery about different things. So let them know that about you are registered through, not yours, registered as a nonprofit, correct?
Yes, yeah. Well, one of the things, you know, when I did world missions in 41 countries for 30 years, we were incorporated as a nonprofit. When my wife was dying, I backed off. I didn't send in the annual report, so we let it dissolve. And so I called the state and said, you know, can I reactivate that 501c3 with the Bureau of Corporations, Elections and Commissions? And they said, no, too much time has gone by. And so I said, they said it would be best for you to start over. And so Rochelle said, we'll call it Crossroads for him, because everyone's going to have to come to that crossroad and make a decision. So we filled out the paperwork. We said, well, how long would it take? We're so backed up, it's going to take several months before we can even process it. We drove to Augusta, and within an hour, we walked out of this Capitol building with the papers, with our charter number, IRS EID number. Everything was done in 1 hour. I told Rochelle, I says, I've helped a lot of churches incorporate. It's not normal. You don't get incorporated in an hour. It doesn't work that way. So again, just like, you know, God providing the bread, the food, the water, the clothes, you know, of course he uses people, you know, manna's not going to come down from heaven at this time. You know, the manna is going to come down through his servants, those that are willing to invest in the kingdom of God. And
I'm going to put it in the, I'm listening to you. I'm watching the live stream. I'm going to put it in the comments. Crossroads
for him. Yeah.
And what's the mailing address?
Well, they can mail it at the home, 451 Lower Street, Turner, Maine.
451 Lower Street. Okay.
Turner, Maine, 04282.
Hold on a sec. Slow down, buddy. Lower Street in Turner, Maine. And what's the digits?
04282.
282. Okay. Yeah.
We also have a P.O. box in Turner, but we've been using the P.O. box because we communicate also with all of the inmates at Maine State Prison. And so we can use that P.O. box also, but it's...
Would you rather go to the home address?
Yes, it'd be easier.
We'll just put the home address then.
Yeah.
So if you want to donate, and the only reason I wanted you to bring that up is because I know how some people, you know, you've been around long enough where it's like, you know, stuff people sometimes are uncomfortable if it's not a nonprofit or registered or anything like that. So I just wanted to let them know that this is something that's actually legit, nonprofit. Yeah. You know, I would not... Anybody who knows me knows I wouldn't have Paul on here requesting, you know, or talking about what they're doing or what they need of if I thought it was a, you know, some,
right,
you know, whatever. Right. But
right. Well, everyone has to be accountable.
Yeah.
You have to be accountable. And that's one of the things that I've done in the last almost 50 years now, you know, helping different churches and stuff. Some of them were never registered. They were never legal. And so I would explain to them, you know, you need to register. And when you applied for his church, how long did it take you before you got a charter number from the state? Did you get it in 1 hour?
Oh, I think it was at least a week.
That's good. A week is
at least a week.
Well, a week is good too.
Yeah.
You know, but that's when you see that God's hand is into it. But again, And I want to just make this clear. It's not just Rochelle and I.
No.
Rochelle and I and Carlos and Bella, we talk, we pray together, we talk together, and then when God speaks to us, then we make decisions. But then it's not even just the four of us. You know, of course, now Matthew's on the team. We told him, you know, when you move in, we had told him, this is your last night living in the woods. Tomorrow morning, we're bringing you home. However, we told him what the rules were, and when we go out to feed the homeless, you're going to be working with us. So when we drive up to someone that's got a sign up, he rolls down the back window. He's got the bag of food and the bottle of water, and they know us coming. Yeah. And, you know, and they put down their sign, and then we're driving by, and they grab the bag and the water, and he's having so much fun bringing food to those that were his friends,
yeah.
that were his friends, and now and they're saying to him. One couple wrote to him just recently and said, Matthew, you are our star.
I think I saw a comment on Facebook, yeah. too, where I read that. Too.
He's
talking about him being a role model for all the other homeless people.
And like, giving them hope.
Giving them hope.
He's yep. giving them hope. And so he shares with them, you know, of course, Rochelle and I, we stand back, and he shares with them, the reason I'm here, the reason I'm all cleaned up is because of God, because I've made a commitment. You know, I've accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. And they stand there, and they just stand there and listen to him. And then they come up to him, and they hug him, and they said, we're proud of you. We're proud. You're giving us hope. And that's amazing. And Matthew, and this is what Bella said. We were at Bella's just last week and last Sunday, and she said, Paul, you know that he's only the first one. Yes, Bella, we know he's only the first one.
Oh. No, I just to clarify, like he said, it's him and Rochelle and Bella and Carlos and Matthew out there doing it right now. And if I could have, I would have had them all in this. I can't fit everybody in an interview like this. I only got two functioning mics right now and stuff. But we do appreciate everybody that helps.
Right, and it's all of them too.
It's everybody. It's, you know,
everyone that brought socks and
even
peanut
if
butter
even if you only brought one pair of socks, you helped somebody.
Yes,
like, you know. And I think if I heard right, I ran into a gentleman the other day at Walmart that said he just gave you a bunch of socks recently. Ed.
Oh, Pastor Ed.
Ed Murphy.
Yeah.
I saw him in Walmart. He said that he was able to get you a bunch of socks
yeah.
as well.
He called us up. We went by, and he gave us. I think there's 25, 50. He gave us 100 pairs of Bombas socks, the large and the extra large. And, well, why do you need so many socks? If you gave him a pair of socks, are they all set? No. Even they walk around. And one of the homeless persons, well, several back in the spring, in the summer, they said, you know, people yell, you know, get a job, you lazy bum, blah, blah, blah. He said, we are not lazy. We walk around all day. We carry packs on our back. There are no lazy homeless people, you know. And now with this weather, since winter has come in and the rains and the cold, their socks get wet. Just last week, 2 weeks ago, one of the young men that we had ministered to, he took off his boots. His feet were in pain. He's got frostbite in both feet. Two other guys the same day came in. They were sitting at the table, and we looked at their hands, and I said, did you wash your hands? Yeah. And I said, let me see your hands. They had frostbite on their hands. And I looked at the young man, and I said, how old are you? He said, I'm 27. I says, well, let me give you a picture. How would you like to be 40 years old in a nursing home with no fingers? Because that's where you're going. They're going to start cutting out. They cut the tip, then they go back, then they go back. I said, if you don't start making choices, the right choices, this is where you're heading. No fingers in the nursing home by the time you're 40 years old. So sometimes we have to be a little stronger when we're talking to them. You know, sometimes, well, like you, I always tell the pastor, I said, blast them. Sometimes we got to blast them out in the streets.
And this is just like a start of, like, you never know who you're going to reach and who actually, even drug addicts that are homeless, you know, that want to get clean and stuff. And I've never really talked to this with Paul as of yet, but I have a lot of resources in regards to different places that people can go that want to get faith-based programs that people want to go to. There's Teen Challenge, and there's also Stop Addiction New England that a close friend of mine, Kevin McGuire, does in Bangor, Maine. And he was actually, just to share a story of how God works, you never know who you're going to encounter for somebody that's struggling or homeless or on drugs or alcohol, whatever the case may be. Kevin McGuire, when I was working for City Reach in Bangor, we picked him up one day. I can't remember where it was, but we basically opened the van door and we're like, hey, you want to get free? And he was like, yeah. And he jumped in the van. We used to do like these drive-by, like asking people.
Kidnap him.
And, well, I remember this day he was skinny, like wicked. I'm not saying you're not skinny now, Kevin, if you're watching this, you look great, bud. But he was real skinny, long purple shirt. I remember he had jean shorts on and work boots. And we took him to the courthouse and he ended up going through the program, things like that. And now he's married and he's been running for the past couple of years now his own program with very great success rates and, you know, people going in and getting free. He attends a church in Bangor with the guys also in the home that are there. He has graduations after the program's over for the guys and things. But if we would have looked at Kevin the way some people look at homeless people, he probably wouldn't be where we say, oh, if God wants to do it, he'll do it. But God wants to use us.
Amen.
You know what I mean? And if we would have looked at him like some people look at the way they look at homeless people or drug addicts and things like that, like we can't look at them like that. We got to look at them. You know, if there's breath in their lungs, there's hope. And now he's been serving God for, well, me and my wife have been married going out. It'll be 10 years in September. So about 10 years ago is when I first met Kevin. And when he started coming to church and breaking free in his worship and things like that, and he's just one of the walking testimonies of somebody that was rescued from, you know, addiction and homelessness and things like that. So, and he's now running his own program. So there's many different, you know, avenues that, you know, Paul might run into people that want to go away and get help. And we got connections for people to go away and actually get help and things like that. So with all that said, excuse me, one of the ways you can help is, number one, peanut butter and jelly, right?
Yeah. Raspberry is very expensive.
Now, are you still accepting like hand warmers, things like that?
Yeah. So because of the weather, I don't know if I've finished that, but because of the weather, their socks get wet.
Yeah.
And then they're getting frostbite. So every day that we go out, we might give that same person a pair of socks every time we see them because they don't have a washing machine. They don't have an apartment,
yeah.
and they have to get some dry socks on. And so that's a daily thing that we have to replenish to them. And sometimes we meet people out there that they're trying to do something. As a matter of fact, this past summer, I met someone in the park. His name was Sonny Dean. And
Pastor Sonny Dean.
Whoa, Sonny. So he knew.
Yeah, I know Pastor Sonny.
He knows Pastor Sonny Dean. So we went up to him and we said, brother, you need Jesus. And he said, well, I'm Pastor Sonny Dean. And he said, what church do you go to? We said, his church in Oxford, Maine. And then he was a good friend of yours. And then we worked with him all summer long. Him and his wife came down.
Now, do they stop through the wintertime or do they come back? Well, now they're on Saturdays.
They're not reaching the homeless right now because there's no one in the park. If you didn't make relationships with them in the spring and the summer and you go to Kennedy Park right now, you will find no homeless people there.
Yeah.
You need to know where they're camping out.
And for what they were doing, it's kind of hard to do it through the winter, too, with sound system. They were bringing sound system down there. And people were playing music and things like that.
Yeah, they have a facility close to the park where they hold a service once a week.
Yes, and they're still doing that, right?
They're still doing that. Yes,
yeah,
they are.
I thought so.
Yeah.
So basically, you know, warm clothes, peanut butter and jelly, you know, shoes if you got shoes. I mean, I don't know if too many people that got that many pairs of shoes, but
I know one and I'm going to be working on that.
So you can bring shoes. I mean, it doesn't really matter what size they are. Somebody will end up being able to fit into them. They'll find somebody that can fit into whatever size shoes you got, socks, you know, warm clothes. I think any type of clothing, you know, that
anything that's warm, you know, right now. Yeah. Winter clothes right now.
You know, I would say this, you know, and some people may disagree and I don't know if Paul disagrees or not, but we don't want your garbage. We don't need your clothes that got holes all through them. We don't need your clothes that are all stained up.
Right.
Just because they're homeless doesn't mean they need your leftovers.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Or your stuff that you're going to throw away.
Yeah.
You know, we're not looking to give these people, you know, bad stuff.
That's right.
You know, shoes with holes in them or socks with the toes missing. You know, it's like we want them to be blessed. You know, so
I'm glad you brought that up because We go through everything that we get, you know, when people bring bags of clothes, if they're stained, you know, of course, we've done a lot of laundry. We wash everything. We bring them clean clothes. If they're torn, sometimes Rochelle can sew things, but if, you know, some items we cannot use, and we end up, we have to bring them to the transfer station to the dump. We're not going to bring them those things. And we bring them, you know, nice clean stuff. If we can wash them and they're clean, no holes, no tear, you know, we'll bring it to them. But yes, we don't want to give them it. Well, it says Jesus said, what you do to the least of these, would you do you want to give Jesus a t-shirt that's all torn up and stained?
Yeah.
I don't.
No, I'm saying, yeah, I mean, I agree
Yeah,
with you. I don't,
yeah,
I'm
I,
not saying
yeah.
I would.
No, I know you wouldn't.
I cut them up and use them for dust rags, you know?
Yeah,
You
that's a
know,
good thing. Yeah,
that's
cut
what
them up,
you
use them for dust rags,
do, you know?
and then go through your closet. Some of the clothes that was in my closet, I said, well, maybe I'm going to fit in these shirts again, you know, the medium and the large, and I'm wearing the extra large. And you know what?
Maybe large, but medium's kind of
Yeah,
pushing
I'm
it.
never going to get in that medium shirt again. I had a lot of nice medium shirts. Well, I don't have them anymore
Yeah.
because, you know, I had to face reality because I think the pastor preached on it and he said, you're not going to go back into that shirt. So it's time to move it
Gotta
on.
move
Yeah, give it to someone that could use it, that
on.
it would fit.
So you can donate peanut butter and jelly, clothing, different things like that. Also, you know, financially, if you want to donate, it's in the comments, Crossroads for Him. I can re-edit the title of this video to let people know that that's what this was about today, but it's in the comments, Crossroads for Him. If you want to help in some way, you know, in regards to, you know, the expenses that, you know, they all put, you know, forth to be able to do this and stuff. And also figured I would make this known, kind of put him on the spot. I don't know if he would want me to do this or not, but are you still in a stove situation? An oven?
Once we started getting hot food, we said, okay, you know, we'll use this stove. There was five burners on the stove. One burner went, and it was like, what happened here? Then the second burner went, the third burner went, the top oven went. There was a top oven, bottom oven. The top oven went, the bottom oven went. So we've been heating all of the food in this little air
So
fryer.
you're still in need of a stove.
No,
No, you're not.
no.
Oh, okay. So you didn't update me.
No.
This
Oh
is why
yeah,
you need
okay.
to
I'm sorry.
update me, all
Yeah,
right? Because I'm
exactly.
getting ready to ask people
Uh-oh.
to.
No, we were sitting down. Rochelle and I had just gotten home from a delivery and a vehicle drove up. As a matter of fact, I thought it was someone because of the color of the vehicle, and it wasn't. And then a half-ton truck drove up behind him. We said, what is that? And so Rochelle said, who is that? I said, I have no idea. I went out. Someone delivered a brand new stove to us. It only has one oven, but it works and it has five burners. So, no, we got a brand new stove. So now we can use the oven and that little air fryer has paid for itself.
Well, I'm glad I asked because I was just getting ready to advertise if
Yeah.
anybody knew of one or was needy or knew of somebody that had one or anything like
No.
that. But I guess scratch what I just said.
Yeah. We don't need to see, but then again, see, the Lord provided, and we didn't pray, oh Lord, give us, you know, we could use a new stove. We had an air fryer and we said, you know, it takes longer, but it worked, and you know, we didn't complain. And sometimes people complain too much. And stop complaining, you know, start trusting God. He will provide, you know, and again, sometimes you don't have to pray. God already knows our need, and He provided the stove, and we just started thanking and praising God for His provisions. He knew what we needed, and it came to the door unexpectedly.
That's
So
awesome.
yeah,
That's
it
awesome.
was a
So that's been
blessing.
taken care of.
Yeah,
Awesome.
and then the refrigerator, and that didn't never even said anything about that. The refrigerator we had, you know, has some, the seam isn't right, and something, I got to keep using the Q-tip to take the mold, you know, off in the middle of that seam. And there's hole, you know, the seam is, there's a hole here, and sometimes the stuff freezes in the bottom of the fridge. And all of a sudden, again at night, someone drove up. Was it a truck? Yeah, it was another truck. A truck drove up, and it had a refrigerator, a brand new refrigerator on it. And Rochelle and I went out, we looked at the refrigerator. It was a monster.
Big one.
I never seen a fridge that big. And it didn't even fit in the house. for a minute there, I thought they were going to tear the house apart. I said, well, maybe if we take the doors off, take the molding off, and it's like, whoa, it's like, wait, this is too big a project. And so we ended up, we had to take the doors off the refrigerator, finally got it in, took a while, and set it up, and then they plugged it in. Oh my word, you open the doors, there's lights on the side. It was like
freezer and everything, huh?
Yeah, a big bottom freezer, and it was like Star Wars. It's like, wow, look at this thing. You open the light, it was the technology. I never seen the fridge like that. So
that's awesome.
But God, again, here he provided.
Supply.
Yeah. And again,
seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you.
It just, right? God knows. Yeah, God knows. Sure. Yeah.
So that's going to kind of be a wrap for today. That's going to, so if you want it, if you're interested in helping, or, you know, we talked about clothes and shoes. We talked about peanut butter and jelly. We talked about, you know, financially, stuff like that. Also, if you're interested in maybe going and serving someday, yep. Just reach out to Paul and Rochelle, or see Paul and Rochelle in church on Sunday. I'm pretty sure there's some people, a couple people in the church that have been once or twice already.
We've already brought some in
you know,
the summer.
Things like that in the summertime. So if you're interested in just in going, I know you guys serve meals at a place a couple times during the week and things like that, just to go serve and love. Look, it's not like it's basically look at it as you're going to love on people. Like that's, you know, it's not anything that's real physically, you know,
no.
It's nothing that you're doing a bunch of heavy stuff or anything. It's you're going to just be a witness and serve people and hand stuff out and things like that and build relationships and connections and get to know the people. So I also encourage you, if you see Matthew on a Sunday, talk to him.
Yeah.
You know, say hello to him, introduce yourself to him, and help him feel welcomed and become, you know, as he becomes more and more a part of his church and grows in the family of God. So
let me mention one more thing. One scripture says, take every opportunity to do good, especially for those in the household of faith. The blessings have been so overwhelming in regards to bread and food and stuff. We bring bread here to give to members of the church because we get so much of it. We go to the Francis house in New Auburn. They can take in 24 men that want to go through rehab. We bring food to them. We have so much food. So not only are we is God providing what we need to bring to the homeless people that we're working with, but we're bringing food to another ministry that's feeding people. And we're supplying food to them. That's how much the blessing is overflowing, and we're bringing it here. Also, you know, for the household of God, so that they can get blessed and get some really good bread.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I brought pizzas for the pastor today. They're in his van. You don't know it.
Oh,
but,
man.
But, you know, the most important thing, and I know the pastor will agree with me on this, is it's exciting to serve the Lord. But if you want to really serve God and you want to build his church, you need to be in the church. You need to get into church. You know, I know I'm not used to all this live stream stuff and stuff, all this technology. I don't even understand half of it. But you need to come into the household of God, and you need to be fed on the word of God, and you need to get rooted and have a firm foundation. If you don't have a firm foundation, don't get involved with Maine State Prison and in prison work. Don't get involved with the homeless ministry. Don't get involved in anything until you build a firm foundation. And you know where you can build a firm foundation? You come here. Because Pastor John, I've been in ministry for, I'm not going to say how many years, because then I'll be giving my age, well, for 50 years. And we've been coming here, I don't know how long.
Two or three years?
Yeah, at least 3 years now.
At least 3 years.
And the reason, and I have to drive over, I call it, we have to go over the mountain and then come back over the mountain from Turner to Oxford to come here. And it's like, aren't there any churches closer to your home? Yes, there are. There are quite a few churches closer to our home. But even at my age, and with, no matter how much I've experienced and what God has allowed me to do through my life, I need to be fed. I need the fellowship. And I need to be fed a strong word, something that will challenge me every time I come, something that will encourage me every time I come, so that we can continue doing what we're doing. So please don't settle for staying home. Come on out and worship with us and be fed on the word of God.
Amen. Which is why you can see I put up behind me the just another reminder that Sunday at 10:30, we're going to continue the family. And I felt like the Lord wanted me to start doing this at the beginning of the year, because I believe if we get the home right, we get the church right. We are the church, and we need to get our homes. The enemy has tried awful hard to ruin the atmosphere of the home, the identity of the home, the authority in the home, and all these different things has been corrupted with culture and all these different things. And I don't want us to operate our homes based off culture or what the world says. We need to operate our homes and our families based upon the Word of God. Amen. And I just believe that God has been doing great things through this series. I've heard a lot of people, you know, said they've really enjoyed it and have loved what God has spoken to them through these messages. So come on out Sunday morning, 52 Pottle Road, Oxford, Maine. Service starts at 10:30. But if you want to get a good seat, then you probably ought to be here at least 15, 20 minutes early, because we fill up. Yeah. If you want to beat Paul, you better be like an hour early. But we fill up quick, which is awesome. You know, I it's exciting to see how far God has brought the church from to where we are now. I mean, when we started, like I said, I had one person show up, and now we're wondering what we're going to do and praying God needs to open up another space or we're praying. Honestly, I'm just going to let you guys know this now. There's 2 acres next door to the church here that's empty. I have the paper and information over on my desk on this that I got from the town office. And we're just believing somehow that God's going to open a door for us to be able to have that property next door. If it's God's will, you know, if it's not His will, then the door won't become open. And that means God's got something better for us. But I'm believing that somehow that through the prayers of the church people, the leadership, you guys, that God's going to make a way for this to happen. I know the owner of it does not live in the state of Maine. And we've reached out a couple different times with no success in regards to actually talking yet. But there's nothing wrong with praying and believing God that that's something that could open up for us to have a bigger space or to build a bigger space or whatever. Because most Sundays we're pretty tight in here. And it's so bad that we get to we even get to shut the heat off on Sunday mornings after everybody gets in here, because the body heat of everybody in here, it gets so hot. But it's a good problem to have. Yes. But with that said, you know, you guys also, it's not just my job or the leadership's job or Paul's job or people who are serving in the church to pray for the church.
Amen.
We all need to pray that God's will be done right here at His church, and that, you know, as we go into this year, like I said, the beginning of this year, I felt the Lord speak to me. It's over on my whiteboard that 2024 will be a year of an atmosphere shift. And I believe through that atmosphere shift, we're going to see things that we've never seen before, an atmosphere shift in the moving of the Holy Spirit, an atmosphere shift in our worship, and seeing victory and miracles and doors open in that atmosphere shift. And I'm believing that one of the things that we're going to see is that God's going to open up a door so we don't have to, you know, even if we have to go to 2 services down the road for a short period of time, you know, that it won't be for a long period of time, because God's got something waiting for us that we're going to walk through. Amen. And that's going to be bigger and better for the church to continue to grow. Because we all want the church to continue to grow, not just in number, but every person that sits in these chairs in this church on Sunday, I want to see grow spiritually in every area of their life. And I believe that this year is going to be a year that we're going to see the miraculous take place in this church, in your life, in your home life, as we continue to seek Him first. So God is good.
Amen.
People are starting to comment. Brian Toothaker's on. He said, great job, Paul and John. Brian's watching. Teresa Toothaker. Ashley Albert from Fryeburg, Maine. Rebecca, originally from Waterford, but I can't remember what state. I think she's in Florida right now. We got Atlanta. We got a bunch of different people jumping on here. So I know that a lot of people have watched it live today, and some people are not going to be able to watch it till later tonight or later on this week. It will also be on our YouTube channel by tomorrow night, and also all our podcast platforms by tomorrow night. So you can look it up right there as well. So I think we're good.
I think so.
I think we're done. So join us Sunday, 10:30 a.m., 52 Potter Road, Oxford, Maine, for more information on the church. If you're interested, if you're watching for the first time, you can go to www.hischurchoxford.com. www.hischurchoxford.com. You can see the leadership, what we believe. There's giving on there. There's sermons on there, things like that. So you can go on, check that out. And just stay tuned. I'll be back on here Tuesday. This is something that I'll be doing Tuesdays and Thursdays at noontime. Sometimes it'll be just me. Sometimes it'll be somebody else, you know, however I can work that in. But just jump on, stay connected. It's very important that you stay connected to the family of God, whether it's in church on Sunday or when we have Wednesday night, or just getting on Facebook and watching live streams, or just communicating with the body of Christ and staying in fellowship with one another. So God bless. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we will see you this weekend.